Grace and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for the sermon today is from the gospel account of the women meeting Jesus, the angel telling the women, Jesus telling them, do not be afraid. We'll get back to that. Hollywood and America are in a superhero craze. I read an article that said that was released in June of last year, and it said that between the years of 2017 and 2020, the iconic superhero companies DC Entertainment and Marvel Entertainment plan on releasing 18 different movies. Now, one article attributed this to the Generation X that is now in their 40s, that grew up reading these comic books and are now mesmerized in seeing their superheroes come to life on the screen. Another point the article made is that moviegoers, especially those in Generation X, love seeing all the latest advancements in filmmaking that are used to bring these superheroes to life. Advancements like motion capture, IMAX, CGI. But another article had a really interesting perspective. He tried to make the case that a post-9/11 America loves imagining a superhero, a figure who can save the country or at least save New York. Now, backing up this interesting claim is a statistic from 2002, that in 2002 there was a record high for the number of U.S. moviegoers, 1.64 billion people in the U.S., and, this is a quote from the article, Spider-Man ranked in the highest domestic growth of 2002, beating well-established franchises like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. Now, that movie sent a ripple into the future of Hollywood and the movies it would produce. This journalist has an interesting perspective. A post-9/11 America has a lot of fears. Americans love imagining superheroes that are the answer to their fears. How about a real one? How about a man who lived 2,000 years ago that faced your fears? That feared what you fear and overcame the greatest fear possible, death, the greatest fear this world has. How about a man who didn't just save millions of people from death, but a man who gives you fearlessness in the middle of an inevitable death that comes to everyone who lives? How about a real-life Jesus who didn't just stop the end of the world from happening like some superhero, but who rescues you from eternal suffering and death at the end of the world that you know is coming one way or the other? How about a real-life Jesus who isn't like Captain America, who reaches out his hand to rescue someone from a burning building or a crashed car and says, "Do not be afraid"? How about a real Jesus active in your life every day, in forgiveness for your sins and love for your soul, who also says, "Do not be afraid," but who gives you the strength and the reasons, the real life reasons, to not be afraid? This Easter Sunday, let's take a look at Jesus, risen from the dead and victorious over death. And let's think on this. No fear, no fear. N-O, no fear, and K-N-O-W, no fear. We'll get back to that, but before we do, let's take a look at our account today. In the account today, Matthew sums everything up just spectacularly. I love reading through the drama that happened that Easter morning. Matthew says, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The first people to express their curiosity and the first people to demonstrate their faith in Jesus are not the 12 disciples, the men who followed Jesus, but the women who followed him. God wanted both men and women to know exactly what happened. And so heaven, with all of its powers and miracles, pours over onto that Easter Sunday morning. Matthew says there was a violent earthquake. Hopefully that brings to mind what Matthew said on Good Friday when he also said the earth shook and the rocks split after Jesus died. These earthquakes and miracles are divine mile markers God is placing alongside the road that led from Jesus on the cross to Jesus out of the tomb. These miraculous mile markers are signs that have a very clear message that God doesn't want you to miss. These events aren't normal. This man is not normal. He's not like you and me. He is risen from the dead. He is victorious over death. He forgave the sins of the whole world and saved you on the cross. And God's seal of approval on Jesus' payment for sins on the cross and our life from the grave is his life from the grave in the words of Jesus, because I live, you also will live. And just to make sure that the message comes through absolutely clearly, God sends down an angel. Matthew continues. He says, an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, don't you just love the angel's sense of humor? I mean, he didn't need to roll away the stone from the tomb. Jesus was perfectly capable of doing that himself. And this angel, a spiritual being with great power who does God's will, certainly didn't need to take a rest on the rock after he rolled it away. But just for the fun of it, just because it seemed like a good thing to do at the time, this angel rolls away the stone, and an appearance that blazed like lightning and in clothes that were whiter than snow, he just plopped down on the stone. He decided, I'll just sit here for a while. Because this stone obviously doesn't serve any purpose anymore, because the tomb does not serve any purpose anymore. No one's there. And what are the first words from the angel's mouth? Do not be afraid. Now, this actually was a casual greeting for people at that time. So Gabriel, or maybe it had been Gabriel, the angel, very well could just be saying, hello, how you doing? My name's Gabriel. Been on the job for 6,000 years now. Having fun so far. Maybe. It could be a casual greeting. But I think it's more than that. Because there's a lot of ways the angel could have said hello, but he chose this very specific greeting. A very specific greeting that Jesus repeats in verse 10 of the text when he says, do not be afraid. It's an encouragement and possibly a command. Which leads to the natural question, of what are they not to be afraid? A blazing white angel? An earthquake that came out of nowhere? Certainly, yes. But remember that all these things happened within the context of Jesus' rejection and execution just 3 days prior. Remember, Jesus shook up the house of Israel. Up to this point, the message that people were used to hearing was work and work and work, try to be as righteous and holy as the religious leaders, try to keep all these commands and ceremonial laws as perfectly as they can, and then maybe, just maybe, you might be able to make amends for your sins. Try to be as perfect as the religious leaders, and maybe you just might possibly be saved at the end of the world. Jesus' message was radically different and radically simpler. Believe and you will be saved. He said it so well in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That's it. No more. No ceremonial laws. Not all kinds of hundreds of cleanliness laws. They don't serve any purpose anymore. They all pointed to Jesus. No more good works as a requirement salvation. They never were. Good deeds are just a thank you to Jesus for bringing you salvation. Finally, the reign of terror of the religious leaders was over. The stranglehold they had on the religious life of Israel was gone, and it all centered around this miraculous, powerful man named Jesus. And then he died. What now? What are we supposed to do now? Was he wrong? Are the religious leaders right? Is their way right and Jesus' way wrong? I'm not sure who to believe anymore. I'm not even sure I'll even get to heaven anymore. So all those fears of tens of thousands of Jews all over Israel, the angels spoke and Jesus spoke in words that have come down piercing through the years of time to your ears today. Don't be afraid. Jesus said the exact same thing. Do not be afraid. So what are your thoughts about Jesus today? Are you new to this church? And you've heard a lot of different things about Jesus before. And you can't help the confusion that surrounds what you think of Jesus and what you assume Jesus thinks of you. It's okay. Jesus' message is for you too. No fear. Are you a newer member of this church? And you're just starting to feel comfortable, but it takes time for all these different things you are being taught about Jesus to settle in, and you can't help the reservations that come back, however often they might be, about this church and what it teaches about Jesus. It's okay. Jesus understands you. I pray you'll give me a chance to understand too. Jesus' message is for you too. No fear. Have you been a member at this church a long time? You've worshiped regularly, and you like to think you've grown in your relationship with Jesus, but these fears in your life keep on popping up here and there like a whack-a-mole game at Chuck E. Cheese or the amusement park. It's okay. Jesus' message is for you too. No fear. Even in the middle of your fear, have no fear. I know that seems like it's contradictory. We'll get back to that. But before we do, I want you to consider this. wherever you're at with Jesus, and I'm looking out at hundreds of people that are all at a unique and specific place with Jesus, Jesus wants you to know this. This is the foundation of your faith. No fear. God loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. No fear. And isn't it a very clear telling sign that we are still on this side of heaven? That we have to talk about faith and hope in heaven in negative terms, in terms of what it is not? I mean, it would be wonderful if we were so convinced of Jesus and so convinced of heaven that it is as if the sounds and smells of heaven drift through their gates of pearl, come across the great blue barrier that you see whenever you look up. The sights and sounds that overflow from heaven and pour through the windows and doors of your houses into your lives every day, it would be absolutely wonderful if heaven were so real to you that it is as if you can hear the gentle trickling of the crystal clear water of life that you can bend down and drink from, that flows through the middle of that blessed heavenly city. It would be wonderful if heaven were so real to you that you could hear it as if it were in your own backyard. It would be wonderful if heaven were so real to you that it is as if you can smell its luscious fruit wafting down to earth, ripening in the golden light of those green trees, just as vividly as when you hold a yellow sun-ripened pear in your hand and raise its smooth skin to your nose and breathe in its calming, sweet smell and can't wait to take your first bite. It would be heavenly if heaven were that real to you. But does not Jesus and your eternal life in heaven resonate most when you take it home to your heart in terms of what it is not? It is no more crying. It is no more emotional instability. It is no more holding the hand of the person you love as the color fades from their skin and they drift away from this life. It is no more fear over heaven and hell and to which one you're going. It is no fear over death because Jesus has conquered death, the foundation of your faith, and your hope in heaven is no fear. But it is at this point that I feel like I need to be very clear with you and very honest with you. You will never, ever be rid of fear on this side of heaven. You know this. Especially you who have been Christians most of your life, I'm sure this is a perspective you'd be willing to share with someone who has known Jesus a little less longer. We're always going to be afraid. Fear keeps coming back into our lives like the unwelcome guest that just walks through the door without knocking. Or when he finds a locked door, he busts through the door and charges into our life anyway. That's fear. So don't you feel a little bit like Jesus is doing the ultimate bait and switch? He tells you, do not be afraid. You know, Jesus is telling fearful human beings what they want to hear, don't be afraid. But then just when you start to feel safe and secure, you hear a Bible passage like this one from Philippians 2 that says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And you wonder if the Bible says fear is a part of the Christian life, and we know that fear is always going to come charging back into our life, why in the world would Jesus tell us to not be afraid? K-N-O-W. Know your fears. Face your fears. Think about them, every single one of them, specifically, individually. Start with God. Are you afraid of Him? You shouldn't be. You heard the Bible passage before. God so loved the world, that definitely includes you. Your sins died on the cross with Jesus. Your life is now bound up with Jesus and His life from the tomb. Believe it, treasure it, it's true. What are your other fears? Stare them in the face and tell to each and every one, Christ is risen. Do you have fear in your relationships? The powerful message of forgiveness and life in our risen Lord can bring life and hope into your relationships. Do you have fear over your financial future? Jesus is certainly bodily reigning from heaven right now. You will be with Him one day, and He is controlling the hundreds and thousands of events in your life every day because He is intricately tied into your life. Every day, He will bring you safely to His heavenly side, and He will give you everything you need to get you there. Do you have fear over how volatile the nations of the earth are becoming? And you wonder what that means for you as a citizen of this country. Christ is risen. The power He shows you, the power He displays this Easter morning as true God, my goodness, it treats the nations as nothing. He is guiding even the events of the nation to fulfill His plans, which is wanting all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We can have no fear when we know our fears. Because Christ is risen. For the last years of her life, my grandma, Clara Harder, mother of my dad, Gary Harder, lived with my family, lived with my parents in their home. She was a bright ray of sunshine to everyone that met her. I know I'm biased, I'm her grandson. But she never had a bad word to say about anyone. I suppose maybe even to the point of ignorance on some people of never wanting to admit or talk about people's faults. But I challenge that we need people like that, who are always positive. I need that. My little brother Asa, who was 5 years old at the time, was her best bud. He'd take her around by the hand around the house. Come on, Grandma, let's do this. And she'd say, my goodness, I don't know if I can keep up with him. She'd come out in the morning, and as her memory was suffering a little bit, she'd always say the same thing. I don't know what I should be thinking. I don't know what I should be doing. And I would say, good morning, beautiful. You should know that we love you very much. You can pretty much do whatever you want, you ball of fire. You're retired now. You've had a very active life. You can pretty much do whatever you want. She'd say, oh, I like that. She had a stroke just after Thanksgiving and the semester I spent at home before I started school at the seminary and was working on my Master of Church Music degree. And she never recovered from it. And she was eventually brought back to my parents' house for hospice care. And one day, before Christmas, in the season of Advent, she loved it when I played hymns on the piano. I was playing "Behold the Branch is Growing." And I remember my mom raising her voice, and I came in just in time to see the color fade from her face. And I went out of the room, and I went over to Asa, my 5-year-old best buddy, who still is. He's 10 years old now. And I said, "Asa, Grandma went to heaven." My sister came in the door. Asa went over to Montea, grabbed her by the hands and said, "Montea, Grandma went to heaven." Now some people might look at that and say, well, that's just a little kid modeling back what his brother said to him. I'd challenge that. That's the beautiful faith that children display best, that I think, between the ages of 3 and 5. You know, before things start coming into their lives and taking their attention away from Jesus. It's beautiful joy in Jesus that's only possible because of the resurrection. And more than that, I saw in my 5-year-old brother a fearlessness. Grandma's in heaven. I'm going to heaven. Your fears are real. Some of them are very large. Most of them are very complicated. I don't mean to belittle that by saying this, but life really is this simple. We die. Jesus did too. He lives. You will too. And though he hasn't put to death fear in your life, he has put to death your reasons to fear. Because he will bring you safely to his heavenly side. Gazing at him this Easter morning is every reason we could ever need to know our fears and embrace them and take them to heart. And to say to each and every one with the confidence only our risen Lord and Savior can give, no fear. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.